you all and listen to you all. And I'm going to try to do this in a time that you'll all have enough time to be able to get to the tubers in the back. And as we're doing this, it's interesting. We were at our garden yesterday, well, Friday and yesterday, but Friday, one of Sharon's requests for her birthday, which was Friday. She always gets the double whammy on a weekend like this. But she was like, let's just have our whole family, can we just go to the garden and plant? We're like, okay. And so we did, and she had planted some of her tubers, and she was talking with a neighbor who was walking past. We have a community garden plot, and they were talking about tubers, and she was reminded that this woman that she got to know a little bit had bought some tubers, and they're like, sometimes they're like $10 to $15 to $20 a tuber. So when we talk about abundance over there, there will be some literally really valuable tubers to be able to give away. And also, hey, maybe it's not you. Again, I know Brian said this so well, but maybe you're able to give it to a neighbor that might, if you don't like gardening, you have your neighbor, but have them put it in the front yard so that you could see it. And maybe you could then go and cut the dahlias yourself. Think about how it can be abundant in this way. But wonderful. Glad that we're able to do that. We need more flowers in our lives, don't we? We are in our Colossians series entitled Our Mysterious Hope. Today, I'm going to be looking at Colossians 4, verses 2 to 6. And I've entitled this sermon, Prayerful Interactions. I had a whole bunch of different things to be able to call this, and I just thought we'd name it, kind of land on prayerful interactions. And I'm going to read the verses, which will be on screen, and then hopefully walk through each verse here for us. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I'm in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. This is fairly, I like how short these verses are, I like how clear they are, and so for each verse, I have a couple words that I want to say to it, and then maybe a story that will help relate to this. But as I was reading this, I think the whole, as I'm reading it, I don't know about you reading it now, but this week as I was able to read it and study on it, I just want to say I was convicted to be praying in this way more often, in a way that I don't want to feel guilty about things, but I want to be convicted. Sometimes we are reminded, might be even a better word, reminded in the ways that we are, as Jesus followers, to be able to live our lives in this way. And for me, it was that. So verse 2, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Interesting, I'm thinking about this idea of being watchful and thankful in prayer. Keep awake. Don't fall asleep. And I think that's almost what it's saying here. Be watchful. It's just like, wake up is another way of saying it. Be watchful. Look around. See what's happening. Be watchful and thankful. And I think as we're people of prayer that I want to be reminded to live this out more often, as I'm more watchful and thankful, I'm more prayerful, I'm actually seeing more of, I'm reading the room a bit more, or I'm listening to maybe the Spirit's interruption in my life more often, so that what? So then I can be praying for someone, but then maybe, just maybe, my language might be more seasoned with salt. maybe, just maybe, I might be more gracious as I'm more prayerful. I wonder if Paul's talking to us in that way here. But this idea of, and then there's this also this idea of being intentional. Watch, waitful, look. And so I just want to share a story. I believe I've shared it at least once here. It was from a while ago, but it was this time where I was very focused and very intentional in my walk with Jesus, and I'm reminded of that, and sometimes we need to be reminded of that. Yes, I can do that again. It was while I was going to college at Columbia Bible College, and I was living in Abbotsford, and I lived in a basement suite in Abbotsford, and while I was living there, we had these wonderful neighbors who I was smelling wonderful food that they were making all the time. And I was like, oh, I just want some of that East Indian food. And so it was a bit of a maybe a selfish prayer as well. But I was thinking about it. And then there's two little boys that would be playing basketball outside their house quite often. And so as I was coming and going, I thought, I'm going to pray for these boys. So I was praying for them. I waved and say hello. And then we took a class, and I think one of the teachers said one time, it's like, hey, be more prayerful in prayer. And one of the ways you can do that is you can bake cookies and bring them over to your neighbors so that you can say hello and get to know your neighbors. Then you'll be more intentional in praying for your neighbors. I was like, okay. So guess what? I baked cookies as a single guy living in Abbotsford in a basement suite. I had all the ingredients, and my mom taught me well. And so I baked cookies. And I took my cookies over to my neighbors, and I said, hi. And they're like, what do you have? I'm like, they're like, wonderful. And it was right at a time where I needed to then leave. And I said, well, and I got to know their names and said hello. And then I went back to class. Lo and behold, the next day, the boys were outside, and I thought I could play basketball with them. So I was playing basketball with them, and got to know them. That's another story. And got to know them and had a bit of a relationship with them. 2 days later, and some of you might have heard the story, but 2 days later, I got brought to me in the morning these beautiful pastries that I thought were pastries. Because I came from the prairies and hadn't had a lot of East Indian food at the time, although I loved it. And so I had these pastries given to me by these two boys, and they said, hey, my mom just made these. We want you to have these for lunch. I'm like, awesome. So I go back to Columbia Bible College as a commuter, but I'm like, I'm going to have that during my coffee break. So I had some coffee, and I had these during my coffee break. I'm thinking it's something sweet. And so these were wonderful. Now I know it was a chicken and chickpea samosas with some potato, and these were authentic. And as I went to bite into this very sweet pastry with my bitter coffee, I was thinking, how good was this? And yes, I was like, all of a sudden, I had to make a bit of a shift in what I was ingesting in my mouth. But as I was able to make that, going from sweet to savory to very hot, but hot in a way that actually had beautiful flavor. It wasn't just like flaming hot. It was just this amazing flavor in my mouth. I remember sitting with friends. They're like, wow, you okay? I'm like, yeah, I just thought this was going to be like chocolatey or something. And they're like, oh, you're new here, aren't you? I'm like, yes, I am. And then the next couple days, this family then said to me, would you like to come over for dinner? And I said, yes. I'm thinking, making long story short, went there for dinner. If you heard me, you know this story, where I thought I was going to get this authentic food, but they were also being very kind to the white guy here, me, and thinking that maybe, and they, as we entered, they said, well, what kind of pizza would you like to order? So at a moment of disappointment, I said, whatever you're having. They said, really? I'm like, yes. And so we had pizza, we got to hang out, but this is the story. As I was being intentional with them, getting to know them, baking cookies like my mom told me to, or my prof did, make cookies as my mom showed me, got to know them a little bit in a non-threatening way. as we're having pizza, they said to me, I noticed that there was it was a Watchtower magazine for them on their table, and I said, "Oh, what's?" They're like, "Yay, we've been asking questions. We have lots of questions of faith here." I said, "Oh," and then so we had this wonderful conversation about faith and who Jesus was in light of God's revelation. And for me, I'm not an evangelist. I'm more of a pastor, compassionate. I'm going to talk a little bit more of that later. But then I was able to direct them to, at the time, it was, I believe, North View, where there was a pastor named Bindo Sidhu, and he was East Indian pastor at the time, who then ended up getting to know them. And all that being said, that they ended up attending his church and were growing in their faith. And it was like all to do about really hunger and food and cookies and samosas and hopefully, you know, and then pizza. And all of us, we probably have different stories like that in that way. And I was like, oh God, could I be more watchful and thankful for the position that I find myself in? And I would interpret it in the way that who are my neighbors? Who are the people around me that I could be praying for in this way? That, yes, God could use me, but he might be able to use other people. And I don't even like the word use this way, but God would work in our relationships with people that we'd be praying for them. And some of us might never even get to know them, but we could be praying for our neighbors or praying for someone. At the end of this sermon, I'm going to ask us a question. I want you to be thinking now, who is the one person that you could be praying for with intention, being watchful and thankful, being praying for a person? It could be someone in your family, but I think what we're in light of this context, we're going to see, it's about looking outside. It's about looking outside of ourselves, outside of this group, as we care for one another and love one another and give each other the abundance table, but also outside of the church. So be thinking about that. Praying with intention, I would say, keeps us in the game. And I just want to say right now, as your pastor, I felt convicted, and I almost had to, I had to confess of that this week. Going, I don't know if I've prayed with intention for my neighbors as much as I maybe should be, or our community, what this looks like. And I just say, that's something that's bubbling up in me, and I think that's maybe might be bubbling up in all of us. And I wonder what the Spirit might be saying to us as we walk through Colossians here. But it keeps us in the game. And this would be also it. I wonder, as we're praying for someone, it also allows us to see the opportunities that are around us. As I'm praying for those two boys, it makes me go over there and say, hey, can we play basketball? It allows me to then be a part of the prayer that I'm praying. It allows me to be in the game, in a sense. And I just want to say on this side, we're not also here to treat people with some kind of bait and switch or treat people as a project. But we pray for the Spirit's leading in our lives. Just recently, as I'm looking at this, I mentioned a little while ago, where we've had neighbors recently saying, hey, come on, would you come over to our place? Would you just, like, and so late night, we went over for tacos the other night. And in that late night taco, like, not, we're talking like 9:30 to like 11, we're eating tacos. Then we're having conversation. I had a conversation with someone who I knew long ago, who was in my youth group, but had made all kinds of decisions that were also maybe not the best, but also she said to me, I've just been burned by church. And here she is talking to the pastor eating tacos. And it wasn't her neighbor, it was a friend of the neighbor's, and we had a good conversation about what that means. And she says, well, I wish I could find a church like that. I said, well, come anytime. Now, that's the next step. But I'm like, whoa. And then just the other day, yesterday, a neighbor came over and said, we just need to have you guys over. I love cooking. And we're like, wow, we need to just say yes to this. We need to figure out how to say yes to this. And now we're going to then see, there's an opportunity there. Now what the name I'm going to be praying for is the person that said to us yesterday, we want you to have you over for dinner. Half the work's already done. So, could we be praying with intention? And maybe, I think many of you are already doing this. So, that's verse 2. Being watchful, think, keep awake. Don't fall asleep. And I'm just saying, I'm on a wake-up journey in the last week or two. Verse 3 and 4 says this, pray for us, too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I'm in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Now, a couple words that I put up for this verse would be the next slide. Do we have it? Open doors of curiosity and clear mysterious hope. Let's think about that. Open doors for curiosity. This idea that we could be praying for open doors for conversations, not forced conversations, but opportunities for this to happen. Without saying too much, there was a really interesting... I went to go visit someone, actually Mary. So Matthew's here. I went to go visit Matthew's grandma in the hospital on Thursday, Friday, one of those days. And as I was there, her two sons, Roy and Rod, were there, and I had a chance to pray with Mary. And then I needed to go on to another meeting. And as I was in the elevator, I'm in the elevator, and then another woman comes in, and we're in this elevator by ourselves, and looking, we're going down, and then she says, "I know you." We're in the elevator by ourselves. I was like, I looked, I'm looking behind, like, as a joke, and I said, "Oh, me, okay." And then I'm working through who this person is, and she told me her name, and I'm 55, and I forget things. And I've been a pastor a long time, so there's a lot of people that come and go, and so it still wasn't clicking. And she goes, "Yo," and then she talked a little bit about her dad, and then I realized, oh, okay, I've heard a little bit about this. This is Randy and Teresa's friend, who is in the hospital and going through a bit of a hard time right now. I believe I can just say that. And she just said, "Could you come visit my dad?" I'm like, "Absolutely." And so as I'm putting this together, she goes, "He's sleeping, but we'd love for you to just come and maybe you could pray for him." Serendipitously, in an elevator. And so I walk and we go, and all of a sudden, lo and behold, nope, he's up in a wheelchair, he's alive, and well, of course he's alive, but he's awake and ready to go. And that ends up being a wonderful 40, 45-minute conversation in prayer. And I would just say this part where, again, at some point along the way, their family has been church hurt in some way. And yet, now they have a pastor in there with them praying for them. Some of you don't have that opportunity to use the pastor card, right? But you have an opportunity to be the hands and feet of people that were either church hurt or people that don't know anything about the church or anything with God, to simply sit with, listen to, be okay being interrupted and maybe moving another scheduled thing away so that you could be with someone, to then simply have this open door of curiosity. Maybe conversations come up. I'm not sure, but be praying for that. Now, how do we proclaim it clearly? This is where I have a hard time trying to proclaim the message clearly. For me, the message clearly is this: Jesus. I know it's a Sunday school answer, but the more and more I understand, the more and more I dig into Scripture, Jesus is the answer. And Jesus is actually makes that mysterious portion very clear. Because God could be nebulous and divine, and God is spirit. God is all of this. And yet, how do we understand God best? If we want to know what God looks like, we look to Jesus. And we try to understand all the stuff that's happening in here. We look to Jesus. So we can be clear that we say, yes, we're able to say we're a Jesus-centered community, creating gracious space through acts of generous love. Jesus is the fullness of God manifested to us. Now, is Jesus full of mystery? Yes, Paul says it. The gospel's full of mystery. How do we understand that? Jesus is the mystery. The clarity is Jesus, but the mystery is that the love of God looks like Jesus, but the love of God is the mystery that is so great, so vast, so high, so wide, so deep that we cannot fully understand it. And I would say also, those of you that have been in relationship, or those of you that are in families, I'll just say it that way, or know someone, don't you think people are a bit of mystery? Yeah. I'm reminded again, like, Sharon and I, like, we've been married, how many years, Sharon? 23 years. We're continuing to get to know each other. That's the mystery. There's a mystery that we can try to understand God. We catch God in these little bits. We understand, if we can understand in the midst of who Jesus did, how he died on the cross for our forgiveness of our sins, has cleansed us of our sins, has taken shame away. But then we understand the fuller mystery, that the full love of God is revealed in Christ. That grace is not only for me, but that grace is for the entire world. What? Huh? For my enemies? What? Huh? That grace is for what? So this, it's a full-on mystery. Now, how do I live that out? What does it look like? So we can proclaim it clearly when we point people to Jesus in this way. And then we say, come along for this mysterious journey of getting to know Jesus even more. That is a beautiful thing. And so I think what we want to do, I want to just say here also, Paul's saying, pray for me. He's in a sense this, professional, he's a tent maker, but he was like an apostle. That he wanted, pray for me that I could, it was his job to proclaim it. But guess what? During that time, he was actually in, he says, chains. He was in house arrest during that time for a couple of years. And he's still proclaiming this to people that would come, and then they would go and then share the good news. And so for us today, I want to name particularly three missions that I just want to take some time to pray for right now as a church. So let's take some time to pray. As I could see Simon, Alex, and Carla, and Andre saying, hey, pray for us, that we could proclaim the mystery. So let's pray right now. Jesus, you call us to pray for those that are announcing the good news. We think of Andre and all of the thousands of people that he has that are working within Global Disciples in indigenous areas, all throughout the world, proclaiming the good news to people that would have only heard of Jesus maybe for the very first time. We proclaim that they would proclaim Jesus clearly, and that in the midst of the mystery that they would understand this mysterious understanding that God is fully loving them and revealing themselves to them, to transform them, to then that they would live a life that would look like a little bit like heaven on earth. We pray for Simon, be with him, lead him, and guide him during this time. Thank you for the way that you have raised him with his parents here. I think of Mother's Day, what a beautiful picture of Jamie and Tom loving on their son Simon and Marcus, Simon in particular, and then him being sent, and now as he works in and through with Surfing the Nations and other, and loving people to be able to lead in worship, but also kids that are having that have needs, that need to hear your good news, that are come from unfortunate circumstances. I pray that he would proclaim the gospel clearly. In Alex and Carla, as they are in Germany and in a whole a different kind of setting, as they work with the Pickaxe Project, as they seek to work in spaces that bring art and intellect together, that they would you give them clarity in how they are to proclaim the gospel. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Might get to it next week. The question I had was, what was Paul in prison for? Hold that thought, because we're going to talk about that and slavery next week, okay? Because we don't have time today. Verse 5, be wise in the ways you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Kind of couples with the first part I was talking about, being watchful and attentive. Be wise in the ways you act towards. I was basically kind of just saying, hey, look around. Who's there? Next slide, I think. No, on the, maybe it's not there. Not, it should be one that I put in there. Yes, there it is. Simply this, look around who's there. Like, you could see people that you know that are there, but then here, Paul is speaking about the outsiders. So he's technically speaking about people that are outside of the community of faith. And that's he's speaking to new believers as well. To this way, this was a small, new little church. And he was saying, look, be wise in the ways you act towards it. Look outside yourselves. And what does it look like? Have eyes to see those on the margins. Have eyes to see those that are outside of your own little circle. I'm forced to reminded that I need eyes to see who are outside of my family, outside of our church. And maybe as we think about that, maybe those are the people that we want to be praying for as well. Story of my mom. My mom passed away when she was 65, so young, 3 months after we got married. So I've been missing my mom a really long time. She's the one that held our family together. But one of the things that she taught me really well, our home was full of the outsiders. Our home was full of people that didn't fit in anywhere else. My mom also worked at a home that was for people with mental disabilities, people that were kind of shunned and pushed, didn't know what people to do with. She would come home quite often. I think it's 3 times, but that's quite often over the 8 years or so, or maybe 15 years, with a broken nose. Because they just finished reading the Beatitudes in the driveway, pacing, and then came in. And my mom said, dinner's ready. The guy says, okay, pop. I was like, Mom, what are you doing? She goes, well, he didn't know better. Wow. My mom taught me what it means to love people that are hard to love, that literally want to hurt you. But also, it was these people that were on the margins. I'm not saying, I don't know if Paul's talking specifically about this, but I know I will hint to it. Part of the reason why he's in jail, do you know why? Let's do this real quick. Part of the reason he's in jail is because he was a disruptor. And he was going to be killed by the religious elite at the time, because what he was doing is saying to them, would you add the Gentiles? Would you let them in? And they're like, no. And then I believe it's Acts 23, 21 to 23 in there. They're like, no. And then they wanted to kill him. There's a mob and a riot. So Pax Romana didn't like that. So Rome is like, hey, we can't have uprising here. He's speaking about Jesus being a new king. They're like, who is this king? So now Rome's getting a bit upset with him. The Jewish elite are getting upset with him because he's now wanting the people from the outside that religious order said, no, you can't. And so now he's stuck between a rock and a hard place. They're wanting, there's a mob that's happening. He's upsetting because there's a sorcerer, and there's helps someone work through demonic for some demons, and then that person can't work as a slave for somebody else, so now they can't make money in the earth. So it's all this disruption that's happening. So yeah, I think maybe it is the outsiders he might be talking about here. And then Paul basically says to Rome, hey, I'm a Roman citizen, they can't do this. And so Rome saved him from this angry mob and then was put in prison for a few years. And then later on, yes, he was executed. But he was executed because he was a disruptor of the social, economic, as well as religious elite of the day. I want to do a bit of a deeper dive on that, because sometimes you think, "Oh, how come he went in jail?" It's really interesting to look through that. So look around. Who's there? Have eyes to see the outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. I don't know what opportunities God might give you, but you can make the most of it by being what? Well, look at this, verse 6. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. It's interesting. The NLT says, let your conversation be gracious and attractive, so that you will have the right response for everyone. So I've entitled this verse, Salty Words and Right Answers. Salty words, you know, who likes a good salty? Someone's being salty. But salty words here is like add a little something that's flavorful in a good way so that people could actually ingest it and they're not spitting it out. If that's kind of a weird analogy, but that's kind of what they're saying. Salt makes, just a little bit, makes things better, makes things more flavorful for, more palatable. And then also this idea of the right answers. The right answers aren't the right answers. The right answers are, I believe, maybe some answers that you continue the conversation revealing and talking about the mystery of who God is. And someone might not want to continue the conversation, that's okay. But our conversation, I think for us, if we're actually genuinely talking to someone that's the outsider that's talking, that I don't know if debate is a good thing. I wonder if it's more curiosity, asking good questions, where they're coming from, what it understands, and then pointing people to Jesus and the love of God that's for everyone will actually and should blow people's minds. And that's the beautiful, beautiful gospel for us in this way. So let our conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. So right, I'm not saying is right. Yes, there is right and wrong answers, but sometimes we think if I'm gonna give them the right answers first. And usually you cut down conversation with that. What does it look like to be gracious and attractive? So I say all of this to us today because I needed that wake-up call, I don't know, a gentle nudge, reminder, just to live my life the way I usually do, but to have eyes to see those on the outside, to have eyes to see, and then maybe be intentional and maybe be praying for one person. What happens if we might be praying for one person over the next few weeks? I don't know, but let's try. So next slide, put the last slide in here. Let's pray for someone by name this week. The worship band's going to come up and sing one more song. And as they do, I want us to be thinking about this. Maybe you need to be, maybe you need to write it down. Maybe you need to make a note. Maybe you need to set an alarm on your for your day at like a pick a time that you could be praying for a person intentionally. I'm not trying to manufacture anything. I'm just trying to give us opportunities to be praying for people. I have a person in mind that I'm going to be praying for the next week, 2 weeks, month, and then I'm going to have to be watchful and thankful to see what the Spirit of God might be doing, not only in that person's life, but in my life as well, and how I might be a person that could be a full of grace, seasoned with salt, so I could be watchful and thankful, that I could be able to proclaim the mystery of who God is in Jesus clearly, even though sometimes the clarity is a mystery. So would God move us in that way? So I really want to encourage you to somehow write that name down. Let me pray. God, thank you for your word to us here in Colossians. Thank you for this mysterious hope that you've given us in Jesus. I pray that you would help us understand more and more this mystery, that you would fill us with your grace and your, I would just use the word, abundant love in our own lives, so that we could be people that would be willing to disperse that abundant love to others. Teach us and help us as to what that looks like in our particular space and time that we live in. We pray this in your name. Amen.